So I am thankful to be back. I was unwell this week and missed Dane's Wednesday night Bible study on Daniel. That was a drag to miss that. We'll be jumping back in this coming Wednesday. I missed Thursday prayer at noon. We always pray every Thursday at noon, and I missed that. And I miss Thursday evenings, prayer and worship, time which I heard was beautiful and special, and canceled all the rest of my meetings on Friday and on Saturday with the hope that I could be with you this morning. And so I am thankful, Hope City. I'm thankful for anyone that knew and prayed for me. I want to say thank you. My sickness, I don't think it's contagious, and I won't go into all the details of it, but my unwellness, maybe that's a better way to put it. I'm not going to go into the story of it, but it's just something that consistently over the years, especially the last few, has hit me, and it kind of takes me down and it takes me out for a while. But it doesn't take me down and out for good. Praise Jesus, right? And so I am honestly, you guys, I'm thrilled to be back here with you. The message that I'm going to share this morning was not in any way what I had planned coming into today. And I think being home and being unwell changed things. And so I'm hoping this is of the Lord, you guys. I really am. I'm just trusting the Lord that it wasn't like my brain working on 23% capacity and thinking something that isn't of Him. I'm trusting the Lord in this, that this is from Him, and that He has something to share with us specifically for us, for Hope City, for this morning and this season that we are in. The theme is the same. I was going to preach on prayer, but it was going to be a different aspect of prayer. And I think being unwell, and maybe you've experienced this, my prayer life changed over the last 3 or 4 days. My prayer life changed. How I prayed changed in sickness. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Like, it's just, you pray differently. And I was sort of pondering that, praying differently. And it wasn't that it was less effective. And in many ways, I felt like I had the Lord's ear, maybe even more. But I didn't pray the same. And as I was considering that, the Lord really brought me to an aspect of prayer that I think I've touched on, but I don't know, you guys, in 25 years if I've ever delved deeper into this part of prayer or this aspect maybe of prayer or this way to pray. I don't even know how to say it, but this is a part of prayer that I think is maybe misunderstood. I think it's been misunderstood by me for a while. We are in a season where we are saying and talking about if my people pray. So God is stirring us, Hope City, to pray. And I think this week, being a bit under, God showed me an aspect of prayer. And then He started to open His scripture, and more than His scripture, which always reveals His heart. And He started revealing His heart for this. And so today, what we're going to be talking about is this phrase. It's used multiple times in the New Testament by multiple authors. We're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Is that a different way of praying? Can we pray not in the Spirit? So is this something that we either pray in the Spirit or we pray not in the Spirit? Because Paul uses this phrase, Jude uses this phrase. It's worked into many parts of the New Testament, this idea that we are to pray in the Spirit. So do we even know what that phrase means. I think there is some misunderstanding on that. And what my hope is today is that we can not only clear up the misunderstanding, because I think that's important, but my deeper hope is that we, Hope City, would pray in the Spirit. Can you give me one on that? That we become a church that prays in the Spirit. Without going into all the details of this yet, and I only think we're going to get about halfway through this. My energy and time are going to get us about 50%. Okay, that's probably what's going to happen, but that's okay. That means we'll pick it up 2 weeks from today. Next week, we got a little special something, something. Just get pumped about that. But we'll probably be a two-weeker, okay? But we want to pray in the Spirit. We want to know what that is, because I believe this. And this is what I think this week, as I was not feeling well, I believe my sickness caused me to pray in the Spirit more than to pray as I normally do. I don't think I had ever probably broken it down like that in my head before, but I believe my sickness caused me to pray this way, to pray in the Spirit. And so God was stirring this up. And so I want to talk about praying in the Spirit. So I believe this is the only way to pray with great power. Boy, I thought there'd be some serious AMENs on that one. To pray in the Spirit is the only way to pray with true spiritual power. I believe that. I believe that if we want to see more prayers answered, the only way to see more prayers answered is to pray in the Spirit. The only way to have the kind of communion and fellowship that our souls and spirits long for with the Lord is to pray in the Spirit. The only way I think we will grow as to becoming a church, a house of prayer, is to pray in the Spirit consistently. If we don't pray in the Spirit, if we don't learn how to make this who we are, we will fade and fade and fade and deteriorate in our prayer lives, both corporately and individually. Because when we don't pray in the Spirit, it becomes religious. It becomes something that we do out of a duty standpoint. And there is no life in that. There is no life in religious praying. There's no long-term sustainability, if I can use that word. There's no long-term becoming a prayer warrior type church when we just pray religiously or because we have to, or we pray just without the Spirit. So I believe that praying in the Spirit is essential, but it's so easy for Mark to have seasons where I pray in the Spirit, and then just as quickly I move and I start praying in the flesh. And I'm still praying, but I can recognize it because all my prayers are selfish. And none of my prayers are getting really answered. And I don't even have enthusiasm to pray. And it's just a drudgery to. And don't make me get on my knees, because now you're making me get uncomfortable for something I don't even really want to do. And I can move from praying in the Spirit to praying in the flesh. I believe we can move back and forth as quickly as we take a next breath. But I believe we can learn to live a life of prayer in the Spirit. I think we can learn how to live that. And you guys, as God was stirring up my heart this week, and as I could tell my prayers were different, I was convinced that Hope City, this is what He has for us today. Have I prayed for us yet? Yeah, okay. I'm doing my best, you guys, okay? I'm on about 65%, but hopefully, by God's grace, He's filling in the rest, amen? Amen, I'm about 65. and I'm an optimist, so I'm really at about 37. Pray with me, Hope City, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, God, because you are God, and we are your children. We are your beloved. God, you love the world so much that you sent Jesus. God, reveal that, the glory of the cross to us in a new way today. Reveal your love as shown by the giving of your Son to die a horrific death of becoming sin. God, reveal how glorious you are and how much you love and the great plans you have and the intimacy with us that you so desire. God, and you didn't even want to leave us alone, and so you sent your Spirit to now dwell in us. The great third person of the Trinity who now is in us as our guide and our comforter and our lead and our the part of you that is dwelling in this moment inside of us, God, and that only comes because of your grace. And as we have trusted in you, Jesus, alone for our salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. So, dear God, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would speak. Holy Spirit, this is your day. Jesus, this is your day. Father God, this is your day. So would you work in your people today? Would you work in your people? Would you come down in your power, God? Father, break anything that needs to be broken. Heal anything that needs to be healed. Destroy anything that needs to be destroyed. Cause repentance where there needs to be repentance. Bring a renewal where there needs a renewal. Bring salvation, God, into this room this morning. Salvation, God. We love you. Holy Spirit, please work and move in your power. We are powerless without you, but in you everything is possible. So change us this morning for your glory. Mature us into disciples after your heart, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praying in the Spirit. Yeah, we're going to get about halfway through this. I got a good feeling. Ephesians 6:18, we're going to read half of this verse today, and we'll probably get back to this verse in 2 weeks. Ephesians 6:18 puts it this way, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Praying at all times in the Spirit. So, our prayer is to be lived out at all times, and every time we pray, if I'm reading this correctly, every time we pray, we are to pray in the Spirit. So this is a call to avoid religious, duty-driven, no-life, weak, answerless prayer. And anytime we sense ourselves going down that road of religious have to, we are to move and make a mental note to say, no, I am to pray at all times in the Spirit. So if I am praying, I want to be praying in the Spirit. This is an all times, every time. So even when we are praying, now remember, there is a difference between what Jesus called vain words of repetition. That was a mystical, came from the world of the pagan world of like repeating the same phrases to think you're going to get heard because of your many words. There's a difference between that and being persistent and diligent and praying for the same people, for the same things consistently. Those two things are very different. Does that make sense? He's not saying that we shouldn't pray for the same people for the same things. But when we mystically think that if we pray and use these special words in prayer, now we are losing the life and praying in the Spirit because now we're moving to the flesh. We're moving to some mystical hope that something outside of God or ourselves is going to answer those prayers or deliver those prayers. So we don't pray in vain repetitions, but that doesn't mean we don't pray for the same people, sometimes in the same way. We can pray for the same people in the same way and still be praying in the Spirit. And that will be defined as we go along here, okay? So we're going to come back to this verse in a couple weeks. So I'm going to give probably three keys today. I have seven total. We're going to get to three, I think, today. Might get to more, but we're going to go for three. It's our goal. It's always good to have goals, right? First key to praying in the Spirit is relational. This is the absolute essential key to praying in the Spirit. When he says, at all times, praying in the Spirit, remember, the Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, in the Godhead. To be a person doesn't mean you're a human. The Spirit is not human. He is a spirit. To be a person means you have personality. That is what defines personhood. So the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, all have personality. So that means that when we are praying in the Spirit, we are engaging with God relationally. Now, this will help so much. When we start into prayer, are we just getting our list accomplished, or are we engaging with a person? Prayer in the Spirit is engaging with a person who the greatest result of prayer is to get and keep the ear of God. What is more beautiful than having the ear of God and then having your own ears to hear the voice of God? There is nothing more powerful, more life-giving than having God's ear and Him having ours. And so when we pray in the Spirit, it is praying relationally, because we know that this is a God who wants to relate to us. Prayer at its core is communication, which leads to communion. Prayer at its core is communication that leads to communion. Communion being this place of oneness, this place of intimacy, this place of relationship. Now, all three members, I did my best. Again, remember, on about 37.5% brain capacity. I did my best to come up with how all three members interact with us relationally praying in the Spirit, because praying in the Spirit does not mean that the first two parts of the Trinity are not involved. So praying in the Spirit is actually engaging with all the parts of the Trinity. It's not just saying, well, I'm going to pray and only think on and pray to and exalt the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Spirit, because God is Spirit. Okay, so praying in the Spirit, here's how I wrote this. Again, forgive me if this isn't clear, but here's what I came up with. Here's how all three members of the Trinity, this isn't perfect, it's not exhaustive, might not even be that good, but it's what I came up with this week. Okay, here's what we got, you guys. Praying in the Spirit is praying with confidence to God, our gracious Father. We confidently approach the throne of grace that we may find help and mercy in times of need. It's praying with confidence to God, our gracious Father, in the name, through the blood, and for the exaltation of Jesus, our Savior, Lord, and friend. So we come to this gracious Father in the name of Christ, through the blood of Christ, for the exaltation of Christ, and, now here's where the Spirit is connected to this, and in the leading, guiding, and illuminating power of our comforting Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Trinity is engaged in praying in the Spirit. And so we engage, we pray to the Father. It's not that we can't talk to Jesus. It's not that we can't talk to the Holy Spirit. They are persons with a personality. We can speak with them. But generally, our prayer life is we are praying to the Father with confidence because He is gracious. We come with confidence because of the cross. Because of what He did for us on the cross, now we come with confidence to the gracious God in the name, through the blood, and for the exaltation of Jesus, and in the leading, guiding, and illuminating power of the comforting Holy Spirit. Every time we pray in the Spirit, there should be a level of comfort there should be a level of comfort that comes in because the Holy Spirit of God is our comforter. When we pray in the Spirit, we should have some guidance because the Holy Spirit is our guide. When we pray in the Spirit, there should be some level of conviction because the Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. When we pray in the Spirit, there should always be a greater exaltation of Christ and a humbling of myself to the exaltation of Christ. When we pray in the Spirit, we should understand the gospel because we can only pray in the Spirit because of the grace of God who opened up access through the body of his Son Jesus. So when we pray in the Spirit, it is relationally driven and it is relationally engaged with all three parts of the Trinity. Okay, does that make any sense? Because it made sense in my head, but does that make any sense? Okay, is this okay? This differentiates praying in the Spirit from every other type of prayer that happens on planet Earth. There is no other prayer of no other worldview, religion, anything. This is separate and distinct from every other way of praying, from every other human being, of the billions of other people who pray. This is unique and exclusively given to the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you imagine the privilege that we have to pray in the Spirit, that we engage relationally with gracious God, with Lord, Savior, and friend Jesus, and with comforting guide, helper, lead of our Holy Spirit. He is ours. He is ours. And praying in the Spirit is the fullness, and it will engage us in prayer in a way that is so not dead. It's probably not the best way to say that, but you guys know what I'm saying. It is so not dead. There is so much life in praying in the Spirit. And we will know we've prayed in the Spirit because we will look forward to praying in the Spirit. Will we still have to crucify our flesh? Absolutely. Our flesh is always trying to get in the way. Our flesh will always try to stop us from this because our flesh is imminently selfish. It's part of what makes it our flesh. But when we crucify the flesh and when we walk in the Spirit and we begin praying in the Spirit of God, it will enliven something that nothing else enlivens, and it will give us a privilege and a blessing that no other one other than the Church of Christ has on this entire planet. And Church of Jesus, let's make use of this prayer. Let's be people who pray in the Spirit of God. Amen? All right, that's the first key. We're going to try to get two more. We're going to go to Romans for these next two. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This is one way you will know whether your prayers are becoming Pharisaical. If you are convinced you have the corner on prayer, if you are convinced you know how to pray every time perfectly, if you are the perfect prayer, then let me just tell you this, the flesh and Phariseeism is getting into your life. Amen? That's what it says. It says, we don't even know how to pray for as we ought. This is coming from Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, the most mature spiritual missionary that I ever have heard of. Nobody suffered more. Nobody proclaimed to a larger audience. Nobody gave up more. Nobody had greater boldness than Paul. And he's saying, Paul is saying this, our apostle, our example, he's saying this, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Here's praying in the Spirit, key number two. Praying in the Spirit is realizing we need the Spirit's help. That is absolutely essential. So when we go to prayer, praying in the Spirit is saying, Spirit of God, I need you. I need you to enliven my prayer. I need you to focus my prayer. I need you to guide my prayer. I need you to intercede for me in prayer. I need you to translate when I'm saying the wrong stuff in prayer. I need you to help me to have the mind of Christ in prayer. Holy Spirit of God, I need you. I need you. This is a posture. I believe this. This is a posture of following the Spirit's lead in prayer. This is not leading the way. This is a posture of Holy Spirit, lead me in this time of prayer. You guys, I'm starting to dip my toes into the shallow end of this, and this is a beautiful reality of a way to pray. This is a beautiful way to pray. Rather than, God, I'm going to tell you all the things that I know. And I'm going to tell you all the things that I need. And I'm going to tell you all the things that I'm convinced of. And then I'm going to tell you all the things that I know they need, and they need, and they need, and they need. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, lead me, because I don't even know how to pray as I ought. Holy Spirit, lead this time of communion and fellowship and relational connection with you. Lead this time, and I will tell you, He will. He will lead us. He will lead us into prayer. What a powerful way to pray. Now we felt like we were going to go in and pray over this person that's given me all the trouble. You know, they got a name and a face. I know you got one of them, and they're just giving me trouble, and they're kind of a burr in my bonnet or whatever that is. A bee in my bonnet? Burr in my saddle? Burr under my saddle? Glad we got some old folks in the house. You know the person, and what I'm saying is we go into prayer many times trying to fix them in prayer, and when we are led by the Spirit will say, but here's what I want you to do, and here's how I want you to see them, and here's how I want you to pray for them. I don't want you to pray in the flesh towards this person. I want you to pray like Jesus would pray for this person. I want your heart to be so changed, and you guys, we will go into this with a whole bunch of ideas and a whole bunch of thoughts. Praying in the Spirit is recognizing we need the Spirit's help to lead us in prayer, to guide us in prayer, and even to pray for us in prayer. He is interceding for us with groans. Imagine the passion that the Spirit has over us to groan in prayer over us. If you've ever been just distraught about someone in your family, distraught about a loved one, distraught about a situation, and your prayer has turned guttural because of the feeling and the emotion and the... That is how the Spirit prays over us. That is the love that He has over us. He prays like that for us, interceding. So man, how wouldn't we want to follow the lead of Him in prayer? Holy Spirit, lead me. Okay, number three, third key. Now we're just going to go to verse 27 in this Romans 8. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. He who searches hearts, God, knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. This will be one of the radical changes as we begin to pray in the Spirit. Listen to this, prayer key number three. Praying in the Spirit is praying according to God's will.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It is not praying according to my will. Praying in the Spirit is praying according to the will of God, not the will of man, not the will of my children, not the will of my spouse, not the will of Mark, not the will of my church, not the will of the government, not the will of Holly Weird, not the Sorry, I'm just kidding. This is praying the will of God, not the will of man. And the Spirit will lead us and teach us how to pray the will of God, because the Holy Spirit is always and only praying, groaning over us according to the will of God. So if He is leading us, and He is leading us into the will of God, we will begin to understand what is God's will, and we will start praying the will of God. And then 1 John tells us, anything we pray for according to God's will, we have it. Anything. If you pray anything according to His will, you can know that you have what you have asked for. So when we start praying in the Spirit of God, we will start praying the will of God, and we will start seeing the answers of God, because they are more and more according to His will. If we are not getting what we want and we're not getting what we're asking for, likely we're not learning how to pray in the will of God. We're praying in the will of man. And the will of God will always be revealed by two places. The will of God will always be revealed in the Word of God, because He will never speak outside of His Word. And then specifically, because not everything about my daily life is in here, so the will of God will always be confirmed and revealed by the Word of God. It will never go crosswise with this. And then the Spirit of God leading us and guiding us will give us our specific will and His specific will for our lives. So we have His general will always here, and His specific will, as we are led by the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, now He will start revealing His specific will for our life. What a way to live. Boy, that's pretty good, amen? All right, we'll be done for the day, but I'm going to end with you with one quote, okay? One quote. I've been reading E.M. Bounds, you guys. I've been immersing myself. This old dude that wrote on prayer more than anybody, I've been most days, and listen to this. We don't write like this anymore, but this was so good, I had to read this to you, okay? The Holy Spirit, here's E.M. Bounds. The Holy Spirit adds His wisdom to our ignorance, gives His strength to our weakness. He pleads for us and in us. He quickens, illuminates, and inspires our prayers. He composes and elevates the content of our prayers and inspires the words and feelings of our prayers. He works mightily in us so that we can pray mightily. He enables us to pray always and ever according to the will of God. Our Heavenly Father, God, we want to become a house of prayer. Lord, we want to learn to pray always in the Spirit. Father, teach us this. Lord, if this is new for us, praise God. Lord, if this is stretching for us, praise God. If there's parts of this that is a bit uncomfortable, praise You, Lord. God, we want to grow. Not into something that is just mystically out there, but that is so grounded and founded in Your Word, God, that we have a great stability in understanding what is ultimately true, God. Holy Spirit, You will never lead us outside of that, but You will give us specific insight and instruction on Your will for us. And God, we need that. Father, we also just recognize that we still live in this body of flesh, and it is sinful, and it is selfish. And Lord, we need a daily crucifixion of that. If we don't daily crucify the flesh, we won't live a life of praying in the Spirit. And so God, give us grace every day, Father, to wake up and let that flesh be dead. And then we start engaging with you in prayer, in communion, in fellowship, in closeness, God, so that you lead and guide and move and direct, God, our every step for your glory and for your kingdom and for the exaltation of you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we honor you today. We thank you today for making your dwelling, your abode inside of us. Lord, we don't want to take that for granted, and we don't want to just let it sit there without seeing the fullness of what you want to do in us and through us because of this great gift. So we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.